Take your Bibles and turn to Revelation chapter 5. Revelation chapter 5. I will apologize in advance for the quality of the slides, but they are still readable, aren't they? Okay. But tonight, we're going to look at the seal judgments. The presentation of the scroll is found in Revelation chapter 5. Then the seal judgments themselves are seven of them. The first six are found in Revelation chapter 6. The last one is found in Revelation chapter 8, verses 1 through 5. And we're going to see all those scriptures tonight. So let's start with the seven seal book. It's seen in Revelation chapter 5. There was the sight. And it says here in verses 1 through 3, it says, "And I saw in the right hand of him that sat on a throne a book written within and without on the backside, sealed with seven seals." We can kind of get a picture of what this is, and I hope this picture comes through on the next slide. "And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, 'Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof?' And no what? Man in heaven nor in earth." No matter how good you think you are, you can't open this. "Neither under the earth was able to open the book, neither to look thereon." If you go out on the internet and you try to find a picture of this, you will see a scroll with seven seals on that. That's not what this is doing. It looks more like this. You have a seal and it opens up a portion. And you get down to that portion, there's another seal and it opens up another portion. Because there's a roll here. And they wrote in rolls. And it says it was written within and out on the back side. So it was double-sided as they scroll this part and do this. But there's a seven-seal book. In verse 4, we see the sorrow. It says, "And I being John, wept much, because no man was found worthy to open and read the book, neither to look thereupon." Have you ever been in a situation where you just can't get it? You know the answer's out there, and it frustrates you over and over. You want to know more. And we have a desire to know more, and you should have a desire to know more about God. And John is saying, "I can see, you've given me Jesus, the seven letters to the churches. You've allowed me to see the throne room of heaven. And now there's this book. And we're talking about end times. And you're revealing, just like Daniel. Oh, please, let someone open the book." And he's agonizing over this to try to find out what the future holds. What the future holds is what God has for us. We need to rest in that if you're saved. You need to be scared to death if you're not. Because judgment's coming. You know, Psalm 30 verse 5 says this, "For his anger endureth for a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but what? But joy cometh in the morning." So we see the seven seal book that is seen. We see the sight of it out there, and John can see it. We see his agony that he wants to hear about it. And he says, "Who can open this book? No man, but the God-man can." Amen. His son, in verses 5 and 7. You know, I love when we're sorrowful that God of all comfort comes to us. In verses 5 and 7, it says, "One of the elders said unto me, 'Don't cry anymore. Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed. How did he prevail? He prevailed on the cross. He prevailed over death. He's all God.
Amen.
And he was all man. He has succeeded. He's now sat on the right hand of God. And he's ready because all judgment is given to him. Hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne, and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb, as it had been slain. You know, Christ has the marks on him now. By his stripes, we are healed. Having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God, set forth into all the earth, Zechariah has some similar visions. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat upon the throne. Okay, so here's trivia. Who had the book in his hand? God the Father. Where does Jesus sit? On the right hand. And he takes it from his right hand. So we see the sight, we see the sorrow of John, but it only lasts for a moment because Christ is there to cure all ills. Christ is there to prevail and to open this seven-sealed book. You know, when we see God work, it ought to cause us to worship. And in verses 8 through 14, we see worship from several groups. First of all, there's worship from the elders. In verse 8, and when he had taken the book, the four beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof, for thou wast slain and hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nations, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Amen. Folks,
amen.
Don't play it short. Look at what's coming. Occupy to them. Don't play it safe. Don't be silent. We're not going to be silent in heaven. Why are we silent down here?
Right.
We're going to be praising God, except for a half-hour period. Okay? And that's coming. Okay? So there's worship from the elders. The book hadn't even opened yet, but Christ has taken the book. Judgment is going. Redemption has occurred, and God's plan is going to be brought to an end. There's worship from the host. In verses 11 through 13, it says, And I beheld, and I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast and the elders. And the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. Okay, math people, how many is that?
100 million.
100 million. Very good. 100 million. I'll be in my math class. Okay? And thousands of thousands. If 100 million is not enough, there's more millions on top of that. And when you think about those, then that means that Satan has a large demonic army too. And we are in spiritual warfare. Saying with a loud voice, Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory. And blessed. Well, that kind of sums it all up, doesn't it? So the book is now taken out of God the Father's hand by Christ. And the elders worship and the host worship. In verse 13 it says, And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth and such as are in the sea and all that are in them heard I saying, Blessing and honor and glory and power be unto the Lamb, to him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. All creation will sing. Every star will sing. Glory to God. The worship is to God. Because He and He alone is worthy. In verse 14 it says, and the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped Him that liveth forever and ever. So that ends chapter 5. And so, in the throne room of heaven, Christ has the seal. He's earned it by redeeming us. He's earned it by doing God's plan. He's the only one worthy to open the seals. Because all judgment is given unto Him. And now, in verse chapter 6, we see the seven seals open. The first four are basically the four horsemen of the apocalypse. The first seal is found, basically it's in pairs of verses. The first couple of these seals. The first seal is a white horse, which basically introduces the Antichrist. In verses 1 and 2, and it says, and I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, come and see. You know, when God does something, we need to look at it. We need to come to Him, and we need to look at it and see what goes on. And He says, I saw, and behold, a white horse that represents peace. And he that sat on him had a bow. And a crown was given unto him. And he went forth conquering and to conquer. This is not a peace of signing a peace treaty. This is a peace because he's forcing it. He says, you're going to worship me or you're going to fight me. And we've been seeing that as we look through Daniel and we look through some other passages here. But this is a forced peace. And everything behind him is an agent of this. And this is looking at the first 3.5 years or so. But there's things that go on during that time. Because that's the first seal. There's the second seal. And the second seal is a red horse which represents war. How do you make peace with someone? You beat them. And they surrender. And they sue for peace. In verses 3 and 4, it says that when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, come and see. And there went out another horse that was red. Satan's red. Blood's red. And power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, that they should kill one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. So, there's got to be agents that make the Antichrist look like he's God. And here's what we have with him. But you know something? It's all about death. Because in John 10:10 it says, if the thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. This is all about death. Anything that Satan does is not about life. It's about death. It's not about getting, it's about taking, not getting, and about you getting something. Verses 5 and 6, there's the third seal. A black horse which represents famine. And it says, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, come and see. And I beheld a little black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. We'll get to Zechariah talk about the woman in the ephod later on. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny, Now, the word for penny is a denarius. And a denarius was basically, it means out of ten. And it was the typical Roman coin. It's like, well, now it'd be about a $20 bill. It's a day's worth of wages. That's what, remember, there was this parable that Christ, when a man went out to get laborers for a field, and he contracted with someone. He said, work in my fields and I'll give you a what? Give you a penny? Same thing. And then later on, he gives everybody a penny because God gives what he wants to give. Salvation is the same to everybody. And three measures of barley for a penny, and see that thou not hurt, that thou hurt not the oil and the wine. You know, we went through COVID and things were scarce. And when things are scarce, prices go up. And here's the point. You can't have what you want. In this verse here, you either work a day for wheat or you work a day for barley. You don't get both. You get one or the other. And you're going to be doing without no matter what you get. And the other thing is, like toilet paper in COVID, everything's going to be so scarce, it's going to be precious. And so anything that's left over is just going to be almost out of people's But this is the peace that the Antichrist is bringing. This is the agent of famine. And what does famine cause if you don't have the money? Causes death. What does war cause? Death. And so the fourth seal is death. There's the pale horse, and it's mass death. Okay? And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast saying, come and see. And I look, and behold, a pale horse. And his name that sat upon it was Death. Okay? And hell, or Hades, followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with the sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beast of the earth. Last week, we basically found out that only a third of Israel would be saved. But Zechariah prophesies that there'd be two-thirds lost. And death is just rampant. This is man's death. The magnitude, a fourth of mankind dies. And the way they die is brought on with, what's the second horse? War. Great sword, kill. What's the third horse? Famine. It says with hunger and with the sword and with hunger and with death, which is disease. And then you're eaten. Mankind becomes kibble for all the animals. And can you imagine this? Can you imagine that you have wild beasts outside your door and you can't get anywhere for fear of your life? And this is just starting. This is just a little bit of what's going to happen. We've talked about the 144,000. We've talked about the two witnesses. We've talked about people not taking the mark of the beast. We've talked about that this is a testing for the nation of Israel, that God will supernaturally protect that nation. Talked about some possibilities for that. People are going to be flocking to the Old Testament when this happens. They're going to be looking at Daniel. They're going to be looking at Zechariah. They're going to be looking at the Old Testament prophets. Zechariah chapter 6, verses 1 through 5. And then I turned and lifted up my eyes. I mean, go back a couple of chapters in Zechariah. There's a horse and an angel that's in the myrtle trees. And the question is asked, well, what's going on here? And so they'll go on across the world and there's peace. And everybody's living in their homes and everybody is kind of satisfied. And then as time goes on, we see more and more of these visions. And in verses 1 through 5 of Zechariah 6, it says, "And I turned and lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, there came four chariots out from between two mountains, and the mountains were mountains of brass." Brass means what? Judgment. "And the first horse chariot were red horses, and the second chariot black horses, and the third chariot white horses, and the fourth chariot bristled and bay horses. Then I answered and said unto the angel that talked with me, What are these, my Lord? And the angel answered and said unto me, These are the four spirits of the heaven which go forth from standing before the Lord of all the earth." So there is a parallel here. In Zechariah, red means war, black means famine, white means victory, and crystal bay means death. In Revelation, the white means a forced peace. Red means war, black means famine, and pale means death. You know, it's the same story. God's truth is truth. God's promises and promises are true. God's judgment is judgment. This is not going to, it will catch people by surprise. But it shouldn't if they just knew what God was saying. So, we've seen the first four seals are all horses. The first one's the Antichrist. The second one's war. The third one's famine. The fourth one is death caused by the other ones and other things. We've already talked about the fifth seal. Tribulation saints will die. They will die for the testimony of Jesus Christ. There will people be saved in the tribulation period, but at a high cost, the cost of their life. You know, what does the profit of man gain if the whole world loses a soul? Or what can a man give in exchange for a soul? Your life in this case. Church is gone. It's been raptured. It's not here. Okay? And so in the fifth seal, we see the martyrs that we're seeing, and we've already gone down this passage. In verses 9 and 11, it says, "And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God, and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given to every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled." This is before the mark of the beast. And after that, not only are you going to have to confess Christ, you're going to have to reject the Antichrist and not take the mark. And you will be hunted down. And you will be killed by beheading. And so we're seeing that even through all this, there is war against God. Because the Antichrist wants to get any sort of, get rid of all remnants of God out of the world. So he can put himself as God. We see the signs of this happening now. We see the mechanisms that can happen, that can make this happen, already becoming to be in place. That's why this is at the door. This is going to happen quickly. I firmly believe it's going to happen in my life, in my life. So we see the fifth seal. It's not a judgment, but it's a reason for judgment. And the reason for judgment is God is going to take revenge for the deaths of all those that were slain in the tribulation period that didn't that followed him. In verses 12 through 14, we see the sixth seal. Creation is shaken. In Romans chapter 8, it says that the whole creation waits, groans, waiting for the what? For the redemption. And in verses 12 through 14, it says, "I beheld when he opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. And the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, And the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell from the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs, when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Sounds familiar? If you're familiar with Joel, Joel chapter 2, verses 30 through 30 and 32, it says, "And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. The sun shall be turned into what? Darkness. And the moon into blood. Before the what? Before that great and terrible day of the Lord come." Now Peter preached this. They thought it was going to happen then. We're 2,000 years down the road. We're a lot closer than he was. And in verse 32, and it says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance. As the Lord has said, and in the what? The remnant whom the Lord shall call." Now we ought to be able to start making some connections here from previous lessons. There's a choice given here. Before judgment, there's always a choice. There's a choice to enjoy God in this case. So we see in 30 and 31 of Joel, we see what happens, and then in 32 we see this opportunity for people to be delivered. Still may cost you physically your life, but eternity in heaven is much better than eternity in hell.
Amen.
However, there's another choice given to evade God. In verses 15 and 17 through Revelation 6, it says, so when this happens and the great earthquake happens, and the sky starts being rolled up like a scroll, and the sun is dark, and the blood turns the moon, and the stars from heaven fall. Hey, this isn't even the bad stuff yet. And the kings of the earth, and great men, and rich men, and chief captains, and mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that what? That sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall be able to stand?" And as time goes on, as these seals come off, it just keeps on getting worse and worse and worse and more intense and more intense. And people are dying by the millions. By the millions. Then we go to chapter 8, we see the seventh seal. The prospect of what happens when the seal is opened is so dramatic and so catastrophic as to put heaven aghast. Because in verse 1 of chapter 8 there is a solemn silence. And when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now think of this. All praise stops. All glorifying God stops. All this stops that John has been seeing, and it stopped because the seventh seal has been opened. Behind that, there's more judgments. There's the trumpet judgments, and then there's the bowl judgments. And it just keeps on going. And it gets to the point that as they go on, that these judgments don't become, they become woes. They become woes. So the significance of the judgment of the seventh seal cannot be underestimated because of what the response is of heaven when it's opened. Think about that. The second set of judgments are now prepared. Revelation chapter 8, verses 2 and 3, and it says, I saw the seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven what? Trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer. And there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints from the upon the golden altar from before, which was before the throne. Who's asking for judgment? The saints on the altar. Aren't we asking for judgment? Haven't we been praying for God to come? David prayed. I think all those prayers have been stacked up from eternity past to now. And God's going to say, okay, world, mankind, you've done this for thousands of years, and it's coming to an end. I've had enough. You think the flood was bad. This is going to be horrible. So there is a solemn silence. There are the second set of judgments are being prepared. Then their supplication is seen in verse 4. And the smoke of the incense, which came up with the prayers of saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. You know something? That ought to show us that we ought to pray. Because God sees it. God remembers it. You know, He's going to remember. We've got to give account for every idle word that we do. God remembers it. And then in verse 5, there's a sentence block. It says, and the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar. Now, what did the fire of the altar do? It was used to burn the sacrifice. So there were live coals and cast it into the earth. And once again, there were what? Voices? And thunderings, and lightnings, and an earthquake. And every time that we get ready for the next set of judgments, we're going to see this. We saw it right before when the first seal was opened. What were there? There were thunder, and lightnings, and all this. Because God's judgment is happening. So, you probably already knew this. You could go ahead. I could think it's like this. I could think it's like that. You know something? We need to take God's word as what it says. But we can see easily from what happened a couple of years ago how you could have a worldwide pestilence. We can see easily from a couple of years ago how you can take the economic system of the world and just turn it on its head. We can see how easily, right now, in our presence, how divided people are over what they think is right. And we can see the scripture saying that everyone does what is right in his own eyes. And we can see Romans chapter 1 coming to pass, which caused, by the way, the fall of the Roman Empire. And unless America turns back to God, it's going to cause the fall of America too.
Right. Amen.
As Jesus said, we're going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah for this. So in closing, our choice is now. Our choice is justification by God through Christ. Or judgment's coming. And you don't want to be around for this.
Right.
Jude says that we're supposed to have some, having compassion, making a difference, but the others say having some say as it was with the hellfire. This is coming. This is real. My God is true, and He does exist. And He is powerful. He's going to do what He says He's going to do. Even so, come. He tells us to occupy. He tells us to be ready. He tells us not to sleep. We can't sleep now at all. We need to work for Him. Amen. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, just thank You for this time. Lord, I ask for this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts. And help us, Lord, to follow You by trusting in You. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.